Even through these dark sunglasses, it's hard to get a read on the driver of the McLaren with the scissor doors and obnoxious paint job, but a shock of stark white hair hints at Raymond Nelson, head of the animation department and a real-deal Hollywood legend. This would make sense, as he rarely keeps the same car for more than a month, and I've yet to notice this vehicle on the lot. Ray is old school. I used to be terrified of the guy, but have since come to appreciate his no-bullshit approach to this business after 2 decades of weathering it myself. Regardless of your opinion on Raymond Nelson's studio battles and legendary tantrums, there's a lot to be said for sticking around as long as he has. A few years back, I worked for him on a pitch, a cartoon concept that never really got off the ground and eventually became a live-action TV pilot, and while his ideas about certain social issues are alarmingly dated, he maintains the spark that once propelled him to the top. The guy isn't just some suit. Raymond put in the hours, hand-drawing every cell of his first animated short before I was even born. He's part of the rare handful still with us who built this studio from the ground up. On the other hand, he's also a blowhard asshole. Ray eventually pulls onward in his 6-figure sports car, this lime green vehicle acting as yet another billboard for his decades-deep midlife crisis. The absurd sight of Ray's new luxury vehicles usually triggers a smile of bemusement, but as Ray leaves the checkpoint, I notice a look of exaggerated distaste on April's face. This expression quickly shifts back to her usual warmth as the next car pulls up, and the process begins anew. I move forward in turn, the whole line shifting one space, then put my car in park again. For the life of me, I can't remember it ever taking this long. It's also possible my nerves are just stretching my perception of time like taffy. I'm rarely tense over a meeting. I just show up, tell them to fuck off, and leave. But this one feels different. Everything in this town feels different lately. I lean back in my seat and turn down the car stereo, which has been blasting the snarling howl of British punk band Idols into my eardrums at an admittedly dangerous volume, and check in on myself. Deep breaths fill my lungs. In and out. In and out. And I facilitate this moment of peace even more by cracking the windows a bit. To my right lies the Harold Brothers backlot, a sprawling mass of offices and breathtakingly large sound stages. To my left is an empty field of tall yellow grass that leads right up to the backside of Griffith Park. The studio owns these unused swaths of land, and one day they too will be covered in monstrous rectangular sound stages. For now, however, these rare natural spaces peeking through the vast Los Angeles sprawl are treating my ears to a soft, brittle rustle, the gentle wind shifting millions of dry grass blades against their neighbors. My eyes close as the sun warms my skin. Honk, honk! The sounds are unexpected, but too far away to prompt much of a reaction. This invasion of my auditory space consists of 2 staccato blurts from a horn, an instrument that could just as easily belong to a circus clown as it could a passing bicycle. I slowly open my eyes and turn my head toward the open field. A cardboard cutout stands awkwardly within this vast plain of golden grass, frozen in place as the blades rattle gently against its cartoon knees. It's a human-sized rendering of Chucky the Woodchuck, his 2 massive front teeth framed by the maniacal grin that launched an animation empire. Weekday mornings, I'd watch this ball of hand-drawn energy face off against Wily Wolf, the 2-dimensional forest, their own personal Home Alone house stuffed full of anvils, mallets, and comically oversized dynamite sticks. It's always thrilling to see prey outsmart predator, even if that means strapping an anthropomorphic wolf to rocket skates and sending him to the moon. This cardboard depiction of Chucky the Woodchuck is from his early days, stark black and white with a distinctly vintage design. He doesn't have his gloves yet, and his divergent eyes are much wilder than the modern version. Back in the day, there was a large portion of potential viewers who found his zany, buck-toothed expression, well, frightening. Adjustments were made. Chucky is holding a bicycle horn.